Well, friends, as you know, we've been looking at a series of messages from the prophecy of Micah. So I'd invite you to turn there to the prophecy of Micah. They warned me not to trip on this moon dust here. And you probably saw that I just almost did trip and fall. Step big. So Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, we'll be reading page 1331 in the Bibles provided for you. We'll read these words, Micah chapter 5, 1 through 6. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders, who will rule the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved in Christ, in the book of Judges, in God's word, Samson, maybe you know him, big strong guy, liked a good riddle. Samson, along with his father and mother, took a little trip to the land of the Philistines to find a wife for Samson. On the way, a young lion came roaring towards him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power so that he tore that lion apart with his bare hands. And a while later, he went back to see his wife-to-be and came past the same spot to where he had killed the lion, and he noticed that the carcass of the lion was swarming with bees. And the bees had tucked a nice cache of honey inside the carcass. So Samson scooped some honey out. I mean, he wasn't afraid of a lion, so I'm sure the bees gave him no trouble at all. And he ate honey as he walked along. Now, here's where the riddle comes in. Samson meets up with a bunch of guys, his future, 30 future of his groomsmen, so to speak, and says, I'll give you 7 days to answer my riddle. If you come up with the answer, I'll give you 30 new outfits, and if you can't answer the riddle, you must give me 30 new outfits. And these guys were all over this fun little game. Today, they would have posted the whole thing on Instagram. The 30 guys said, yeah, tell us your riddle. Let's hear it. Come on. So Samson winds up, and he pitches them this. From the eater, something to eat, and from the strong, something sweet. From the eater, something to eat. From the strong, something sweet. I always wonder if Tolkien, for his book, The Hobbit, was inspired by this exact Samson episode when Tolkien wrote about the riddle game played by Gollum and the unsuspecting Hobbit hero, Bilbo Baggins. For much like Bilbo's winning riddle, what have I got in my pocket? Samson's is pretty near unsolvable, too. It's made up from personal experience that Samson only knew about, only him. How in the world are these guys supposed to guess this? Well, they don't, but they do manage to get Samson's girlfriend. Wives and girlfriends are Samson's Achilles heel, of course. They get her to nag Samson into telling her the answer, and he finally does. And then she tells them, and the answer is honey and a lion, the strong lion and the sweet honey. From the eater, something to eat. From the strong, something sweet. the guys get their new duds, all 30 of them. Well, today's sermon is a riddle. It's like that one. From the small, something huge. From the small, something huge. And I thought about that for what we could have up here this morning in our box, our prop box. And maybe the Buitt boys can help me. Are the Buitts here? Brendan, Zachary, are you here? Why don't you come up? Okay, you can help me unveil what's under the box, okay? All right, just don't trip. You've been warned, all right? Step high. All right, very good. Yes, you're right into it. So, all right, come around here. Which one's Brendan again? Brendan, Zachary? Okay, so I'm going to lift this up, and you're going to see what's under here, okay? So here we go. I thought this is a good time of year to do this, okay? So what do we got? Yeah, a watermelon. So, Zachary, would you hold this watermelon? Don't drop it. Just, you got it?
Yep.
All right. So, watermelon, something pretty huge, right? Something pretty huge. Now, of course, what, I told you not to drop it now. Okay, so when you think about a watermelon, though, you know, it's from the small. So this you get from a grocery store. Grocery stores aren't small, right? So trucks come to grocery stores with watermelon. Trucks aren't small. The truck picks it up from the farm. Farms aren't small. But to get a watermelon at a farm, it starts from something, right? So open that bag up. Pull out what's inside, okay? It's very small. All right, hold that up. Show the congregation. What is that?
Seed.
A watermelon seed, right? Keep holding it, okay? Yeah, a watermelon seed. So from the small, no, you keep holding, something huge. Now, hold that up right in front of your head. Yeah. Look at that thing. It's as big as your head. There's bigger ones, right? Okay, you got it yet? Keep holding. All right, so something small, from the small, something huge. From the small, something huge. That's what we're thinking about today in the message, okay? So you can put that back down. I'll help you because it rolls, see? And then you put that back down too. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate your help. Give them a hand for helping. Don't trip. Very good. Very good. Thanks for coming up. It's great. Well, that is what our Micah passage is about, right? From the small, something huge. But in fact, it's this. From the small, someone huge. Someone huge. And as a matter of fact, God does a lot of that kind of stuff in the Christian life. God takes little things and brings about huge results. The kingdom of God is like a, not a watermelon seed, but a mustard seed that grows into the largest plant in the garden. The kingdom of God is like that. It produces, in good soil, it produces a crop 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. God takes that little miserly hoarder, Zacchaeus, turns him into a generous giver, paying back four times what he skimmed off the top. God takes little David, and he defeats the giant Goliath. He takes 12 clueless disciples and starts a missionary movement that grows worldwide. And here it is again in Micah chapter 5, from small watermelon seeds, huge watermelons. We see it most obviously in verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which distinguishes this Bethlehem as the Bethlehem that is 5 miles from Jerusalem. There was another Bethlehem up closer to the Sea of Galilee in the area of the tribe of Zebulun. This is the one, though, that's just southwest of Jerusalem, the Bethlehem, the one we sing about. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, right? That one, that the one that's a pretty good-sized city today, but 2,000 years ago, it was just a tiny little village, but King David was from Bethlehem, let's not forget. So it does have a certain small local boy makes it big kind of charm to it. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Another David, right? Another small town boy making it big. Small Bethlehem, great ruler. From the small, something huge. You see it then as you go back a verse too. Micah says, marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. This is prophecy. Because 100 years later, this actually happened. Jerusalem was laid siege to, and it was eventually captured by the Babylonians. You can read about it in 2 Kings 25. In the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his armies, his whole army, and he encamped outside the city, built a siege works all around it. For 18 months, that siege went on. And finally, there was no food left. So the Babylonian army broke through the wall, and the people of Jerusalem just scattered. They were pursued, and King Zedekiah, Judah's king, was captured. His sons were killed by the Babylonians right in front of his eyes, and then his eyes were put out. He was struck blind by the Babylonians. A king of Judah, humiliated by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And what does Micah say about it? 100 years so earlier, he says, a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. And so in verse 1, we have a humiliated king, beaten, running, captured, and blinded. This is no new King David, is it? This is no giant on the Israeli king list. He goes down in history as a loser, goes down to defeat, humiliation. But from the small, someone huge arises, a new ruler over Israel, says verse 2, one whose origins are from of old. Did you see that? From ancient times. The literal rendering there is from days of eternity. His origins are from the days of eternity. From the small king Zedekiah comes someone huge. Do you know who it is? I think you do. Verse 4 says that this ruler will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. From the small, someone huge arises. And you surely know who it is now. It's none other than the Lord. Jesus Christ, right? He comes to rule. He comes to stand up against evil and sin and the devil. He comes to shepherd his flock in the Lord's strength. He comes to bring security. He comes to make his greatness known to the ends of the earth. From the day he came, his ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, his reign in heaven, and one day his return to bring all things together under one head, God. From the day he came, he has been bringing forth a huge kingdom with him as king from a small, small beginning. Remember how God's prophecies get fulfilled? Last week we talked about that progressively. First Zedekiah, that small losing king, but now Jesus too. Jesus has that characteristic. A small, tiny baby in a tiny town, Bethlehem, in a manger, a humiliation at the cross, like King Zedekiah struck on the cheek to blind him. Jesus too is humiliated, brought low, made small, beaten, nailed to a cross, a loser surely. But then begins the exaltation to greatness, to hugeness. He rises and ascends as king. It's like some of you, I'm sure, have read C.S. Lewis's depiction of Aslan, the Christ figure, in his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Aslan has been killed by the evil witch and all her wicked cronies, and he lays bound with ropes, this poor lion, his mane shaved off. Spit and blood cover his body. Lewis writes, "It was all more lonely and hopeless and horrid than I know how to describe. But at sunrise the next morning, the lion rises again. And when the two little girls see their friend, this lion, Aslan, next, here is how Lewis describes it. There, shining in the sunrise, larger than they had seen him before, shaking his mane, for it apparently had grown back again, stood Aslan himself. Oh, Aslan, cried both the children, staring up at him, almost as frightened as they were glad. Aren't you dead then, dear Aslan? Said Lucy. "Not now," said Aslan. Aslan stooped his golden head and licked her forehead. The warmth of his breath and a rich sort of smell that seemed to hang about his hair came all over her. "Oh, children," said the lion, "I feel my strength coming back to me. Oh, children, catch me if you can." And a great romping chase ensues until all three finally lay together panting in the sun, and the girls no longer feel in the least bit tired or hungry or thirsty. "And now," said Aslan presently, "to business. I feel I'm going to roar. You'd better put your fingers in your ears." And they did. And Aslan stood up, and when he opened his mouth to roar, his face became so terrible that they did not dare to look at it. And they saw all the trees in front of him bend over the blast of the roaring as grass bends in a meadow before the wind. What a picture! As he was led to his death, so small, so beaten, so humiliated, and then he rises larger than he was before, warmer, louder from the small something huge. It's the story of Jesus Christ that Lewis is telling in this fantasy land of Narnia, a story that Lewis believed, a story that we believe, the story of Jesus from the small, something huge. From Christ's small beginning in Bethlehem comes our ruler and shepherd, our Savior and Lord, paying for our sins at the cross, rising from the grave for our eternal life. From the small, someone huge. This is the way God works. In a few moments, we will eat and drink the Lord's Supper. We will eat a tiny square of bread. We will drink a thimbleful of grape juice. But what is this supper? It is refreshment that no other food or drink can bring. It is a reminder that no other meal can produce. It is nourishment that no other nutrition can provide. It is assurance that no other supper can bless us with. It is a foretaste of the wedding supper of the Lamb. From the small square inch of bread, half ounce of juice, something huge, sharing in the body and blood of Jesus Christ by faith. Nothing but this sacrament works that way, because Jesus Christ, he is at the head of the table and he is serving it up. From the small, someone huge. This is the way God works. Let me tell you a little about a lady, little lady named Nella. There are Nellas in our church too. Nella was nearing the end of her life, a life well lived for Jesus. And to many, she was simply known as the card lady. A small thing to be, really. A note, sometimes just a signature on a card. Sometimes for birthdays, for those she knew well, but always for the sick and for the grieving. Nella would write out her cards, and she suffered strokes as time went on, quite a few of them. And when she did, after some recovery, her signature got messier and got bigger because of the strokes. But it got a little bigger in another way too, more meaningful, more powerful, for she continued to be used by God in this mighty, compassionate way as she, to the very end of her life, ministered with cards and notes to the congregation. In fact, when they found her peacefully at rest one morning, peacefully in heaven, that is, there was a stack of cards in her lap and a pen resting in her hands. From the small, something huge, a small card, a huge card ministry. From the small, someone huge, a small little lady, a huge servant of Christ. This is the way God works. This is the way God works through his children. He takes the small, he takes the unimportant, he takes the humiliated, and from it does the impossible. Makes huge what is done in his name. Makes huge the church, makes huge the kingdom. Takes small sisters and brothers in Christ and make huge servants in his kingdom. Do you know the one who does these things? His name is Jesus. Is he your shepherd? Is he leading you today? If he is, well, you can expect big things, huge things. This is just the way our ruler, our shepherd, our Savior, our Lord works. It's just the way he works. Just the way he leads us, because from the small, he is someone huge. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for Jesus, thankful for his tiny beginnings on this earth. In that small town of Bethlehem, in a manger, and then all his life mocked and persecuted and eventually killed on a cross. But then, you raised him as king of your kingdom. From the small, someone huge. And thank you that Jesus works in our hearts, small people like us, and makes what we do in his name huge things that are done for him. Thank you that you do this for us out of love. Thank you for Jesus, who is the someone small that became someone huge. In his name we pray. Amen.